بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وانعم علينا عظيم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and minds and to give us the strength and the patience on all the obstacles that are coming before the Muslims and all these different climates that are attacking the Muslims. Ikhwani, remember that there's always an opponent for the truth. And where there's ever darkness, wherever there's light, there's always the opposite side of it is dark. And wherever there's good, there's always evil fighting against it. And no doubt, wherever you see the light of Islam and the truth of Islam, there's always the enemy that fights against Islam. Because Islam comes, and Islam is that deen and religion that came to people to take them out from the darkness to the light, to take them out from the sadness to happiness, to take them out from the worship of the creation to the worship of the Creator, to take them out from the tiniest of this world to the vastness of the hereafter, to take them out from the punishment of the hellfire to the pleasure of the paradise. So no doubt that you'll find always enemies, and you'll find opponents objecting and fighting and doing what they can to do to stop this truth from spreading. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Quran been revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a language that the Arabs knew and understood. And no doubt, and there was no doubt in any of the Arabs' hearts, starting with those first enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who fought against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, they had absolutely no doubt in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being the Prophet of Allah, and had absolutely no doubt in the Quran al-Kareem being revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew that Muhammad is a messenger from Allah. And they knew that the Quran is from Allah. And they knew Muhammad. They lived with him. They grew up with him. They know he's not the type of person to come out of nowhere and start lying on Allah if he doesn't even lie on people. He's not the type that, wallah, he wants to gain the dunya on the account of lying on people. They know Muhammad, they've experienced him for 40 years. And some of the scholars say the hikmah from behind the Prophet ﷺ being 40 years, 40 years before the revelation came to him, is for the people and the Arab to live with Muhammad ﷺ long enough until the age of 40 to realize that's not the man that would lie ever on a human being to lie on Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet ﷺ came with the message at the age of 40. And those who fought against the Prophet ﷺ knew that this Muhammad, this man, is no way a liar. They know he's not a liar. What he says and what he does, his saying are not the sayings of liar, and his actions are not the actions of a liar. But what made them fight against him? It's the personal benefits that people do not want to let go of. Those who fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look into the biography of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, are all the rich men, the leaders, the men with power, whether financial power, leadership power, political power, manhood power. So there were all those with powers who went against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And who followed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam? All the weak ones, the slaves, the maids, those who do not have strength of backup, those who do not have the powers as the others. So, what was the reason from behind those with powers fighting against the Prophet ﷺ? It's because Islam takes that power away from them. Why? Because they've gained that power in a corrupt system. If it wasn't for the corrupt system, they would not have that power. If it wasn't for the corrupt society they're in, they would not have that power. If it wasn't for the injustice they were doing, they would not have that power. If it wasn't for the evil they were doing, they would not have that power. So Islam comes to make things just. Islam comes to give people their right. Islam comes to make people equal. Islam comes to give justice to others and give rights to others. So that objects with what the leaders have and those with powers. That objects of what they have. So of course, when Islam came, those people in leadership, their leadership is going to be taken away from them. Their money is going to be taken away from them. Their power is going to be taken away from them. And that leadership and money and strength is going to be shared with everyone. And they refused to do so. That's why they fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam under a banner of religion, but the reality was, it's the personal gain. That the Pharaoh of this nation that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, Fir'aun hadhihi al-umma, the Pharaoh of this nation, Abu Jahl, he said, I believe Muhammad is on the right path. I believe he's a messenger, but I would not follow him. Why would it be someone from the family of Abd Manaf to have a prophet and not from my family? So it's just personal thing. The leaders, those first enemies to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will go in the middle of the night listening to the recitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading the Quran Kareem. That at once, three different leaders, every one of them grabbed a corner listening to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. On the way back, they caught each other, saying, what were you doing? What were you doing? What were you doing at this time? People usually are not out of their houses at this time. So everyone started to deny at the end, yeah, we were listening to Muhammad. So they made the promise not to go and listen to Muhammad again. And the next night, they'll go and listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They can't grab themselves. It's the truth. Sahih, they evil people. Sahih, they very corrupt people. They're still human beings. The heart at the end of the day wants to hear that beauty. They want to hear that beautiful Quran coming into their hearts. But, subhanAllah, because of arrogance, pride, because of personal gain, because of the personal strength, they don't want to let go of it. They fought against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they fought against the believers, so they do not let go of their leadership. So wherever you find good, there's always opposite to it bad. And wherever you find dark, light, there's always opposite to it darkness. And wherever you find truth, there's always opposite to it false. And wherever you find Islam, now there's always a great opponent towards it. Now there's always a great enemy towards it. And that enemy will do anything. Will do anything to take the Islam down. You know, sometimes when you pick on someone, if they smile in your face, you say, he's making fun of me. I'm just smiling to you to give you another smile. But you'll interpret that smile to a bad thing. And that's what's happening. Whatever comment a Muslim will say, they twist it just to show the others that, look, Islam is a very bad religion. Whatever good we try and do, they twist it just to show others that Islam is bad. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مَاكِرِينَ. They plot and Allah plans. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the best planner. At the end of the day, they're not trying to take this man down, or that person down, or that group down. They want to try to take Allah down. But the thing is, Allah Azza wa Jal will never get down. The thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be disgraced. The thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be humiliated. And Allah Azza wa Jal will disgrace and humiliate anyone. And Allah Azza wa Jal will have the power and the strength to disgrace and humiliate anyone. This is a point that some people have to wake up and realize. I'm trying to disgrace Allah here. I'm trying to humiliate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm trying to put Allah down. But Allah azza wa jal is the one and only one that would never be humiliated or disgraced. Or be put down. Because subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one that disgraces. And he is the one that gives an honor. يَعِزُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He is the one that gives honor to whoever he wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces whoever he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives honor to whoever Allah azza wa jal wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. It's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They plotted and planned. And they did trying to take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam down. although he was only a man with weak companions behind him. And at the end, Allah Azza wa Jal fulfilled his promise, in which he says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. He is the one that sent his messenger. He is the one that sent his messenger with the true religion, the religion of Islam, for this deen to override all religions, to override everyone, for the deen of Islam, for the deen of Islam to rise over everything, over all ideologies, over all concepts, over all thoughts, over all religions, over all ideas, over all theories. Islam will override them and Islam will rise over all of them. And Allah said, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even if the non-believers dislike it, because of course they're going to dislike it. Even if the enemies of Islam dislike it, because of course they're going to dislike it. Allah said, let them dislike whatever they want to dislike. And let them like whatever they want to like. At the end is the deen of Allah and the deen of Muhammad that will rise. And the deen of Allah and the deen of Muhammad will override all religions. But it's the Muslims that will be given the honor, and not all Muslims that will be given the honor, but it's only those who stand by this deen in the hard times, they'll be giving the honor in its easy times. And subhanAllah, we have this, we always want. As Muslims, we have this disease of always asking, we want, we want, we want, we want. But we never say, we want to give, we want to do. Like subhanAllah, we grew up in families and always hear our parents, our uncles. When you hear something happening to Islam, the only thing you hear is complaints and complaints and complaints. But we've never seen one of them stand up and do something. I've never seen that. I've never seen someone say, listen, we have to do something about this. We have to get together. We have to start calling others. We have to start giving. We have to start. The only thing we're used to is complaining. And that some of us, the next generation, will start to grow up also complaining. Just we see something, we complain. But Islam doesn't tell us complain. Islam tells you do. وَقُلْ اعْمَلُوا. Do. Say do. Allah Azza wa Jalla always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines the iman with actions. So we should always do. We should always stand up. We should always do something. We should always contribute. We should contribute in whatever we can. And contribution here is in many things. I could contribute in my knowledge. I could contribute in my experience. I could contribute in my money. I could contribute in my time. I could contribute in many things. Every Muslim has a great side towards them that can contribute something to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. 13 and 14 years old you to contribute to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mother of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anha wa anhu radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she had nothing to give and contribute. So what did she give? She gave her young son to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, he is my son, during the day he's with you. You use him for whatever you want to use him, from carrying things for you, bringing things to you and so on. And the Prophet ﷺ took advantage of this child, not just to serve him, but to teach him. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So the mother of Anas, she's a weak woman that does not have maybe knowledge or experience or strength or money. But she had a side that she could contribute in, and she contributed with her young son to serve the Prophet ﷺ. But it wasn't just about serving the Prophet ﷺ. She knew that by him serving the Prophet ﷺ, this kid will know more than anyone else. Who will know more than anyone else. By serving the Prophet ﷺ, this kid will learn from the Prophet ﷺ, and then this kid will teach others that no one knows what's in the household of the Prophet ﷺ the way that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew. So everyone can contribute into the deen. And that's why, ikhwani, we have to free ourselves from the slavery of complaining. We have to free ourselves from this. This is a disease that spread. We always hear complaints, complaints, complaints. Brother, do something. Brother, say something. Brother, put some effort in. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, will accept the batil to override the haqq? Do you think Allah azza wa jal will allow the falsehood to be at the top of the haqq? No way. No way Allah azza wa jal accepts that. But why does this happen? Which does happen. Sometimes it comes in time and era where the batil is overriding the haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing the right men to be on the haqq. So when the haqq comes, it overrides the batil. Be from those people who are into this. Be from those people who contribute. Whether you contribute your time, your knowledge, your experience, your money, anything you can contribute in, contribute. Contribute your experience, contribute your knowledge, contribute anything that you have in your life for the sake of this deen. You and everything around you and everything you own should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, my brothers and sisters, we have to be like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Not people that sit down and just complain, but people that do. People that act, people that stand up and do something for the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not just whinge and whinge and whinge and whinge. SubhanAllah, like being a sheikh, many times people come up to me, sheikh, kaza, 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 kaza. Why do you come up to me? Why am I the only person going to be questioned in front of Allah? Am I the only person that Allah is going to question me about this deen? Why don't you do something about it? I'm not a sheikh. What does that mean? What does that mean you're not a sheikh? Yani khalas, you've got no responsibility over you as a Muslim. There is a responsibility over you. The Sahaba, were they all scholars? How many have we heard of so many companions fought in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal and died as martyrs in that path? And they've never prayed a rak'ah to Allah. They probably didn't even know much of the Quran al-Kareem. Khalid ibn Walid, they say Khalid ibn Walid used to read the small surahs and used to make mistakes in them. He used to read Qulahu Allah, Qulahu Adhu Rabbi Falaq, and used to make mistakes in them. Sure, is it just the people with knowledge? But everyone can contribute into something. For that, my brothers and sisters, what we hear these days, expect it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكَ أَن يَقُولُ أَمَنَّا هُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they'll be left alone to say we are believers before we test them? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Indeed, we had tested the ones before them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those who are truthful and honest, who stand by the word and stand by the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and those who are just full of talk and liars. فإخواني, we every single day, alhamdulillah, like yesterday, I was one of the brothers saying, subhanAllah, for the last month has been relaxing, hasn't it? For subhanAllah, today came and made up for the whole 2 months, not 1 month, it made up for the whole year, come on. For subhanAllah, you find that plot and planning, just people grabbing onto the most simple things and the most stupid things that just to dirty the picture of Islam. But inshallah, this is only inshallah will overturn on them, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will only bring people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the September 11th, which that planning and plotting that took place by the enemies of Islam, putting it on the back of the Muslims, after the September 11th, ever since that, I even experienced it, ever since that day, a month, till this day, it's very hard to get a copy of the Quran. There's so much demand on the Quran al-Kareem. There's so much demand on the Quran. People want to know more about Islam. And the percentage of people reverting and turning to Islam within that period of years is much more than any other year. For subhanAllah, they plot and plan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. This is all coming. This is all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test the believers and to strengthen them and to show show Islam to others. But ikhwana, ihna, as we said, we're in a position of test, and Allah is testing us. For that, let's be strong and let's not react wrongly. Let's not react wrongly, especially with the media. Sometimes the media, ikhwani, these people, the people in the media, to me, I see them as the most deceiving people, and we all know that. These people are every single day involved in it. They wake up on it, they sleep on it. But us, we probably once in a lifetime we experience it. So let's not fall into the deception. One of the deception is, they don't want to see you in a good mood. They want to see you in a bad mood. So what do? They provoke you. So you could react, and they say, that's what we want. Thank you very much. Let us see you in a bad mood. And then they start saying, see the Muslims that we're telling you about? Look at their faces. Look at their reaction and so on. For that, ikhwani, let's not react. Let's not react, okay? Don't give your opponent what they want. They provoke you, and don't react towards them. Just show the true image of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came to him, and he grabbed him and grabbed his shirt and started to drag him in front of everyone. And he said, oh Muhammad, give me what Allah had given you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. Another leader? First of all, he'll be lucky this man to get to him if it was another leader. And secondly, if he just touches him, he'll be gone. فإخواني, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him what Allah had given us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't react. In one of the expeditions, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, that hypocrite, munafiq. And what's a hypocrite? Someone who shows Islam from the outside, but full kafir from the inside. And when we say munafiq between each other, we mean two-faced. What we mean two-faced? And he says what he does not do, he does what he does not say. Yani to us, that's a munafiq. But we know this guy is a Muslim. No, the munafiq we're talking about, he's a full-on kafir. He's worse than any kafir that you could think of, because the munafiqeen are in lowest level in the hellfire. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was a head of the munafiqeen. Not someone that used to show the Prophet ﷺ one thing and used to say another thing and is different, but deep inside he loves the Prophet ﷺ. He's someone that had full hatred to Allah and his Prophet and the deen of Allah and his Prophet and the followers of Allah and his Prophet. So he was a full kafir. This man gave the Prophet ﷺ so much headaches. And he gave the Prophet ﷺ so much problems. And one of the expeditions, one of the things that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul did is he tried to turn the army against the Prophet ﷺ and turn the Ansar against the Muhajirin and turn the people of Medina against the people of Mecca. And he said his famous saying that he said, Muhammad came to us, we fed him and his companions, and they turned against us, is exactly what the saying says, feed your dog, he'll turn against you. That's what he said. And the news came to the Prophet ﷺ and he got angry, Umar ibn Khattab. The Prophet ﷺ also got angry, but I didn't react. So Umar ibn Khattab got so angry and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, just give me the okay and I'll chop his head off. So you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? And Nabi ﷺ, he probably agrees with Umar ibn Khattab in one way, you know, get rid of this fitna and just that's it. But Nabi ﷺ could see the long term and he told Umar ibn Khattab, such a reaction will make our da'wah go behind. Maybe we could get rid of Abdullah ibn Salul and no more headaches from Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. But believe me, Umar, our da'wah of Islam is not going to go forward. Why? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Ya Umar, aturidu an-nasa an yaqulu anna Muhammadan yaqtul ashaba. Oh Muhammad, oh Umar, do you want people to start saying that Muhammad kills his own people? Because in the outside, people don't know Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. They don't know he's a munafiq and he's full of nifaq. And the guy has been plotting and planning against the Prophet ﷺ. They see Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul as one of the men of the Prophet ﷺ. So if the Prophet ﷺ reacts the way Umar ibn Khattab wants him to react, then maybe inside the circle of the Prophet ﷺ, the Muslims will relax from him and no more of the trouble of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. But outside, people were saying, huh? If I want to become a Muslim, Muhammad will kill me. No, I'd rather not become a Muslim. Because people will start saying Muhammad kills his own people. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't react. He didn't react. Although maybe deep inside the mind of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's thinking like Umar ibn Khattab, because that's what's going to be done. You know, you've got a cancer, you've got a disease, you've got a bad apple. Get rid of it. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used his hikmah. Okay, I don't want to get rid of something here, and then something worse comes out. And this is the hikmah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, khalas, leave him. Leave him. Do you want people to start saying that Muhammad kills his own people? Wallah, we get rid of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul from here. And Islam does not spread anymore because people look at us differently. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this hikmah and so on and did not react. And that's why a lot of the times as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have the haqq in our hands. We have the truth in our hands. We have the weapons in our hands. But because of our reaction, we're just humble people. We mind our own business. But someone provokes us because they're evil. They've got a dirty heart. We've got a good heart. Someone evil comes and provokes us. We react. Oh, look at them. See what the people forget about what they've done? People forget about what they've done. And they start looking at you. That's what he did. Ah, look at him. Look, he's the one that did that. For ikhwan, watch out from reacting. And this reaction, especially from Muslims, is what the media loves. Oh, they love that. Yani they get paid big bucks for it. Yani today, subhanAllah, I saw someone from 10 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening standing in front of the house. I mean, what do these people want? They just want a photo. Allahu Akbar, just a photo? They just want a photo. They sat for about 8 hours next to stinking garbage for 8 hours waiting just for one photo. And subhanAllah, Allahu A'lam what they intend from behind that photo. For they just want reaction. The media loves reaction. Media survives on reaction. That's what they survive on. Yani it's business for them. It's business for them. And that's why, subhanAllah, you look into the media and you see the news. You wish that one day one of the media will go and ask a professional Muslim who probably can answer something properly, you know. Who do they go and find? Today you watch the watch the news, they went and found the lowest people in the community who don't even pray, who don't even know anything of the religion to take a comment over Islam. This is subhanAllah. This is the life that we're living in. And that's, they live on reaction. And someone, one brother who's involved in the media lives on reaction. That's their life. That's what they live on. They live on people reacting. React, they start living on it. And that's what they want from the Muslims. فإخواني, especially the Shabab. Shabab, when they react, their reaction is 10 times more than the oldies because of the Hamas. فإخواني, inshallah, let's have the wisdom. Let's keep the mind and let's not react. And alhamdulillah, we have the haq in our hands. Let's not turn it against us and make it batil. Because sometimes you have the haq in your hands. Because of reaction, you make it batil. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said a great word. أَحْيُ الْحَقَّ بِذِكْرِهِ وَأَمِيتُ الْبَاطِلَ بِهَزْرِهِ. Revive the haq, revive the truth by remembering it, by speaking about it. And destroy the batil by ignoring it, by not speaking about it. Sometimes we promote the batil for others. When you have, for example, a kayad, and opposite to you, another kayad, and there's a competition in between. If you want to really market your kayad and promote your kayad, when a customer walks in, you don't tell him, listen, my cars are better than the one there. When you start telling him, my cars are better than the one there, he wants to know what's there. So he goes there. Now tell him, look, come and see my cars. Come and see my product. Come and see what I have for you. I have a good service, blah, 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 blah. Once you start mentioning, don't go there, people want to start going there. What's there? I want to check there. What's happening? Okay, maybe the other one's got better cars. Don't promote. Subhanallah, they say a famous story in Syria. Once a sheikh heard about a house operating illegally selling wine. So the sheikh got up on the minbar and he started to go off saying, blah, blah, the house on the address on that road, blah, 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 selling alcohol. After that, everyone was there. The sheikh promoted it. Some people, you have weak people, not everyone is strong. You know, he promoted that for them. Some people start together. فإخوان الإنسان يحيي الحق بذكره. You revive the haq, the truth, by remembering, by speaking about it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ. The haq had came and the batil had vanished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. The batil is made to be vanished. Allah created the batil with an expiry date. Just dies out. When it's time for it, just dies out and demolished. But the haq, Allah's created it forever. As one of the scholars say, as long as the night will stay, the sun must rise. And inshallah, as long as this battle will stay, and as long as this enmity will stay, and as long as this fight against Islam will stay, one day Islam must rise. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Inshallah, we're once again with you on Monday night. Inshallah, next Monday, for the upcoming Mondays until we go to Hajj, inshallah, we're with you speaking about the main events in Islam. Thursdays, inshallah, we have Sheikh Zayd with you. Sheikh Zayd, inshallah, will be covering the companions, unknown companions in Islam. So inshallah, wants to speak about companions who many of us don't speak about. We always want to speak about companions. We speak about Umar, Khalid bin Walid, but there's a lot of other companions who hardly mention their names. For inshallah, Sheikh Zayd, inshallah, good brother, inshallah, will be coming for the next 5 Thursdays. He'll cover those companions that many of us don't speak about. And inshallah, not next Monday, the Monday after that, we have an open barbecue. So inshallah, here, every single one of us starts sending the message out. Let's start, inshallah, reviving and build that mosque. This mosque, Allah Azza wa says in the Quran Kareem that this mosque is not built by the structure of it, it's built by its men, those who believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and Day of Judgment. So let's start rebuilding this mosque. Let's start rebuilding this mosque. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you all. For inshallah, this Monday, inshallah, we are with you again. And inshallah, start calling your friends, your buddies, your family, inshallah, to be with us in this environment. Jazakum Allah khair. And inshallah, looking forward to see you all. Although maybe command it's a bit late. Kul aam wa antum bi khair.